Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. Merry Christmas after. Forever and ever. Amen. God is good. He's blessed us abundantly. Sally and I want to thank all of you for your kindnesses, your goodness, your cards, your gifts, the bonus, Christmas bonus, all the things. I think Mr. Ed's fattened me up another 5 pounds with fudge and stuff. So we do appreciate all of that. Hopefully you had a good Christmas and many blessings to come. And Happy New Year early. Amen. It may be next year before I see most of you again. So, well, have you ever been out on the street and just walking along with a friend? And what do you do as you're going past the shops? You're looking in the windows? Maybe. You're not. You don't want to spend money. There were two guys walking down the street one day, and they were just chatting away, and they stopped all of a sudden and looking inside of one of these big storefront windows. It happened that these two guys were taxidermists. And inside the window, they saw an old owl sitting propped up on this stand. And they just started analyzing the work done on this old owl sitting on the stand. It just turned their stomach as they looked at this creature sitting on that pedestal, and the way the owl had been mounted, its eyes were not natural, its wings were all scruffy looking and out of proportion to its head, and its feathers were not neatly arranged, and its feet could certainly be improved. And as the two continued just all the critiques and, oh, look at all this thing that's wrong, the owl turned its head and blinked at him. You know, have you noticed how people have a tendency to have an opinion about things as you're going through life, as you deal with different things? Even this very statement has a judgmental tone to it, doesn't it? We all make choices. We all make decisions. We all evaluate things to various degrees. And we frequently fail to judge everything exactly correctly. And we can account that to several factors. Maybe we don't know all the details. Maybe we don't see all the details, whatever it may be. But there is one who never fails to judge perfectly and correctly every time. Almighty God has perfect judgment. The Bible introduces us to many correct characteristics of God. And in our text today, we find three characteristics, three aspects of the nature of God listed in just one verse. This sermon will only address the first of these three characteristics of God, the Lord our Judge. What led Isaiah to write these words? God's prophet is led by the Spirit to give a message of hope in the middle of a sinful and gloomy times. And Brother Bob shared with us, you know, we're in gloomy times, but God is still there. In the case of the nation of Israel, the Assyrian warriors had invaded the northern kingdom of Israel and decimated it. They had destroyed it. They had annihilated the people, massacre, had taken over the land. And now they are at the doors of Judah. The people are in the city of Jerusalem. They're under siege. All they can see before them is death and destruction. The bloodthirsty hordes are surrounding the city. And the people have no hope in this world. Their only hope is in who? It's in God. Destruction, siege, fear, hunger, and death surround Jerusalem. But in spite of all that horrific turmoil, Isaiah proclaims that the Lord is in control. And so we read these words in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 20 through 22. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feasts. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, an undisturbed habitation, a tent which will not be folded. Its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its cords be torn apart. But there the majestic one, the Lord, will be for us, a place of rivers and wide canals on which no boat with oars will go, and on which no mighty ship will pass. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us. God will save his people. Here we are, 2,700 years later, approximately. And the Lord still cares for his people. Amen? Is he taking care of you? He will cast down our enemies. Because if we are walking with him, they're not our enemies, they are his enemies. God destroys his enemies. He will take care of his people. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, for your kindnesses, your goodnesses, your watching care over us in so many ways, your love and compassion, your grace that is poured out upon us as we walk in faith with Jesus. We thank you for the transforming power and the gift of your Spirit within us. We thank you for your scriptures of truth. We thank you for the freedom to celebrate, the freedom to worship, the freedom to remember that Jesus was born, the promised Messiah was born. He has come, he's lived, he's died for us, he's conquered death, and he's risen, and he's dwelling with you, waiting for the day of return to bring us to your presence. It's good. You're great. And we give you praise. Lead us and guide us as we look through the scriptures to consider your word. Remembering that you are the judge and you are in control. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord God was not judged just during the days of Isaiah. And he is the Almighty God of all creation, of all time. Creation and time are his makings. He is always judged. He has revealed himself in his documentary to man, the Bible. And so we're going to examine a lot of scriptures today. We're going to fly through them. I'm going to read some of them. I'm going to just refer to others. As you notice there in your notes, there's quite a bit there. We'll just have to memorize them before next Sunday, okay? Get the meaning of them, get the message of them, take time to read them, ponder on them throughout the week, if you possibly can, to remember that God is in control. He is the judge of the entire human race, and through Jesus, we have nothing to fear. If we are walking with Christ, we are his children, and he will not bring his wrath upon his children, but his grace and mercy. Let's dive into this. The very first point is the Old Testament records about God, our judge. God gave us this record of many different passages, and we're just looking at a handful of these passages. When we turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 25, brings us to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, God told Abraham through his angel that he was going down to destroy the city. And Abraham began this discourse with God, this discussion, you might call it a little debate, a reasoning session with God about why God should not destroy the city. What would it take for God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And he started off with, would you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 50 righteous people there? And God said, no, I would not destroy the city if there were 50 righteous people there. And then he goes down 45, 40, and just works down, and he finally gets down to 10. God, if you are a righteous judge, if you are a just judge, would you destroy the city if there are 10 righteous people there? And God promised, I will not destroy the city if there are 10 righteous people there. God is referred to there as a just judge. He would not destroy an entire city, even if there were only 10 righteous people there. Of course, we find the story that it was just Lot, his wife, and two daughters who walked out the door, and not all of them made it. Only 3/4 of them made it, because who was it? Lot's wife turned back to reflect back upon the city, and she, of course, was destroyed, turned into a pillar of salt, because she looked back upon her past. Judges chapter 11, verse 27, we have Jephthah, I get that pronounced right. We didn't name any of our kids that. I can't even say our kids' names right half the time, Aaron and Nathan. But Jephthah was one of the judges of the nation of Israel. I believe he was the last judge in that time period. And he speaks of the Lord who judges between nations. In that case, the Ammonites were giving the Israelites all kinds of headaches, problems, invasions. And Jephthah called upon God who judges nations between nations to bring righteousness, bring goodness to his people, the nation of Israel, which God did, protecting them. God is the judge between nations in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10, we have the story of Hannah, who was unable to bear children, but God blessed her with a little baby. You remember his name? Samuel. Samuel was given to Hannah, and in her exuberant praise of God, she speaks of God as the divine judge over all the earth. The divine judge over all the earth. We come to the book of Psalms. Many passages of Psalms deal with God's righteousness, his judgment. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 says, God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. God sees everything that's going on, and he's rather upset with most of it, don't you think? Here he is. He's the one that gives all of us life and breath, and he's evaluating everything. He's judging everything that's going on. Psalm chapter 9, verse 8 says, he, referring to God, will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. We have a little challenging time as we watch and as we hear about things going on, and we hear of decisions of judges here in the world and here in our time. And sometimes we wonder, is there anything good going to happen out of this? Is there really good judgment going on? Sometimes we ask that question. Well, don't worry. God is going to settle all the accounts. He will judge righteously between all people. Now, that should raise the question, are we being right? Are we treating others right around us? And we surely need to live by the principles of Jesus Christ, the golden rule. Do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and other scriptures that Jesus has given to us. But God's going to settle accounts with equity. He will judge righteously. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, kind of a long passage, one of the passages that we've kind of dealt with in the last few weeks, says, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but he will in righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth, and he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. So here we have a prophecy of an individual who was coming, still to come, who would be a righteous judge of all people, walking in God's righteousness, not human righteousness. And of course, we celebrate the fact that this judge has come. The judge has come, but he did not come as a judge. The judge first came as a redeemer and a savior. Jesus came as a redeemer and savior. John 3:16 through 18, I think probably all of us have those that first verse memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then the next verse, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. So Jesus came. He wants us, all humanity, to be with God. So we're all going to heaven, right? No. We go on to the next verse. With the promise and the blessing and the goodness and the grace of God, Jesus also gives us a warning in the very next breath. In the next statement, he says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Warning, warning. Yes, God loves us. He's a God of love. He's got open doors right now. But if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you are sunk. You have sealed your own fate. And this is the warning we need to get out to the world. Yes, God is a God of love, but he's also a just God. He will judge those who reject his plan. We can't come up with a new plan. We can't form a new way of salvation. There is only way, one way, and that is in who? Jesus Christ. There are a lot of religious groups who have redesigned God's plan, thinking they've got a better plan. They don't. Only God's plan will work, and that's only through Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 22 through 29. We're not going to read all those verses. I would encourage you to do that on your own. But in that section, Jesus lays claim to all judgment. He came as Redeemer and Savior, but he says that he has all judgment. He gives eternal life to all who will hear and obey his teachings, and Jesus will call all humanity to stand before the judgment throne. He will call all the dead out of the graves, and those who are still alive, walking around, dancing around on this world, they will stand before the judgment throne, and they will be judged whether or not they have accepted the teachings, the word of Jesus Christ, and are living by those words. A very powerful section. You might want to underline those verses in John chapter 5. John chapter 12, Jesus continues speaking, verse 47 through 50. He says that all judgment is based upon the acceptance or rejection of his words and his teachings. Verse 48 in particular, Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. The word of God proclaimed becomes the standard by which we will enter heaven or we will be cast into hell. The words of Jesus are God's words, and they are words that give us life. To reject God's words is to reject life, and the only ultimate alternative is death. So Jesus often spoke in parables, the stories that relate to eternal truths using things that we are familiar with here in this world, illustrating heavenly principles, truths, and things in life. Matthew chapter 25 has three parables. All parables need to be paid attention to, but these three are very good ones to keep in mind, three in one little package of one chapter. But the last two of them speak of the coming judgment. They address the issues of judgment. The second parable there in Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents. And in that illustration, three individuals are given talents of various amounts by the master. And when the master returns, they have to give an accounting for how they used their talents. You remember that story? The first two came back and said, I've multiplied, I've doubled what you gave me. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master, right? What did the third guy do? He did not use his talents. He buried them, he hid them, and when he came and brought back, and the master called him, you worthless slave, and he got judged. He was condemned. What he had been given was taken away, and the servant was cast away. Now, is that just a nice little story, or was Jesus trying to tell us something? Now, the talents there were in reference to money. But it's kind of a unique thing here in the English language. What can talents also refer to? Our abilities. God gives us gifts and abilities, and he gives them to us to use for whose purpose? For his glory. And if we don't use our talents, our abilities, our skills for God's glory, do you think God's going to be happy? No. So it has kind of a two-edged meaning there. God, everything that we are given physically and talent-wise, our skills, our abilities, God wants us to use them for his glory. And God will reward us when we honor him. The third parable there in Matthew 25 is where the master comes and separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep from the goats. And in that case, in that parable, the sheep represent the righteous people. People who have honored God, who have lived a life of love, caring for people around them, doing good things, doing things that are helpful. And the goats represent those who are not doing good things, righteous things, honoring God in their lifestyle. We have either reward for doing what is right and good, or we have condemnation based upon our disobedience of the words of Jesus Christ. So, as Jesus lived, he emphasized over and over again, there's a judgment coming. And guess who has that judgment? Jesus said, I have it. Jesus himself has that judgment. He came as Redeemer. He came to give us grace and mercy. But there's a time coming, he said, when the Master will return from his long trip and will hold people accountable. The apostles identified Jesus as the judge. They believed in the lordship of Jesus and all that he taught and preached. And so over and over again, we have in the New Testament, not just the message of love, 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 love. Brother Bob referred to our charlatan preachers who only give one little snippet of what they think the gospel is all about. No, we serve a righteous God who also holds us accountable, and those who reject him, it's not a pretty picture. The apostles said over and over again, Jesus is the judge. In Acts chapter 10, we have the apostle Peter directed to preach the gospel to the first Gentiles. And I have several verses referenced there in verse 38 through 43. This is where the apostle Peter received the vision of the sheet coming down out of heaven with all kinds of unclean animals in it. And God said to Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, no way, I'm not going to kill any of those unclean animals. I've been a righteous, perfect Jew all my life. And God said, what I have made clean, don't call unclean any longer. Three times this occurred, and about that time the door had a knock on it. And it Three Gentiles were standing outside the door. Three Gentiles at a Jewish house? What is going on? And they said, our master Cornelius has had a vision. He's been told by God to send for you, so we're asking you to come and talk to Cornelius, our master. And so he goes, and against everything that he was raised, taught to not do, God said, do. Enter into the home of the Gentiles. For God so loved the world. It's not just a message for the Jewish culture. It's a message of salvation for all humanity, Gentiles included, Brother Peter. And so Peter heard the story. He preached the gospel. And Cornelius and his household heard the gospel. And God poured out his spirit upon those individuals. Jesus, the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was expanded on. Cornelius and his family were aware of the story of Jesus, but they didn't know all the details. And Peter was sent to give them the full message, the gospel message, and God put his seal of approval on their faith and belief. This is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead, is what Peter told them. And they, after that, God said, gave his stamp of approval on these individuals. And of course, Peter immediately ordered them to be buried in the waters of baptism. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30 through 32, it's not just the Apostle Peter, but we have the Apostle Paul preaching the message that Jesus is the final judge of all mankind. It continues on into the letters in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. This is Paul's final plea and final urging to Timothy. Paul knows he's going to be killed soon. This is one of his very last letters, one of his last communications before he knows he's going to his death. And he urges Timothy to remember all the message of the gospel and the fact that Jesus is the judge of all humanity. Jesus is the final judge of all humanity. Why would Paul waste his breath and waste the ink, waste the time, when in his final days, to include that if it was not important? It was important. All people will stand before Jesus because he's going to judge everybody whether or not they have accepted him or not. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, verse 12 in particular, we are told that God's word, and basically it's referring to Jesus, God's word judges the thoughts and the intentions of what? The heart. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our intentions. He knows our heart. He knows our implications better than we do. And God is sorting through all of that through the word, through Jesus Christ. Jesus awaits the day when he will return in judgment to tread under feet his enemies, and those who neglect him, those who have rejected him outright, those who have perverted his word, Jesus will judge them. James chapter 4, verse 12. The Apostle James. This is the stepbrother, we are pretty sure, of Jesus, not the original Apostle James, the brother of John, but James, the apostle, brother of John, was beheaded early in the ministry. This is James who came to a full belief that Jesus, his stepbrother, was the Messiah. In verse 12, he says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. In chapter 5, verse 9, he says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And here we could just interject this thought and reminder. I had Brother Robert read for us the Philippians passage. Think on positive things, good things. We have a tendency to become judgmental of each other. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus warns against, judge not lest you be judged. And a lot of people just take that phrase. But then it goes on and says, we will be judged by the same standard that we use. So if we use God's righteous standard of evaluating, judging on what to do and what not to do, God will use that righteous standard with us. And of course, that righteous standard is based on who? Jesus Christ. And here we have the warning of James that, let's don't mess up and start getting judgmental and harsh on each other. Let's be gracious and good and kind to each other. Remember, there is the judge at the door. He's watching it all, how we deal with each other. So let's love each other through the hardships, the trials, the misunderstandings. Do you ever get misunderstood? I get misunderstood a lot. And we have to be so careful about getting our ire up, getting our nerves and frustrations up, and be gracious and kind to each other, loving one another. God is gracious towards us. Let's show some grace and mercy to each other. Why? Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. This is what all humanity is warned about, told about. We are to prepare for this day. Starting in verse 11, since it's part of the thought. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I don't want that second death. I don't want hell. I don't want to be cast into the lake of the fire with Satan, with all the demons, with all the corrupt of all time. What am I looking forward to? Revelation chapter 21. Verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm looking forward to the pearly gates, because the judge has paid for my sin with his blood. He's paid for your sin with his blood. You walk with him, he protects you. He will not judge you as condemned, but he will redeem you. The long-awaited Messiah prophesied by God first came as the suffering servant, the Redeemer for us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. He paid the penalty for all sin. He walked this world experiencing all the frustrations, the hardships, the trials, and many things that I never have. He was tempted in all aspects as we are, and yet he did not give in. He did not sin. And he gave his life for us as the final Redeemer. He has been given all authority and all power, and he has returned back to heaven, but he's coming again. When God says it's time, the heavens will split open, and Jesus will be here before we can say cock-a-doodle-doo or anything else. He is coming again. We got to be ready. Jesus Christ will come not as a suffering servant, but he will come as judge. Judge of all. And we need to be ready. We need to have our neighbors ready. We need to have our family ready. We need to have our enemies ready. Everybody. Just a reminder, I trust that all of you are walking with Jesus, but if you're not, just what's going to happen when you face the judge? Will you be told, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the master? Or will you be told, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity? Those are serious words. We must be ready. The world needs to get ready. We got a lot of work to do, brothers and sisters. Let's warn our neighbors, warn the people around us. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you that he has come and has been patient. You are patient with us, gracious, merciful. You've given us hope and promise, eternity. Let us walk in your path. And let us be bold, courageous, straightforward with those around us that they need to know Jesus, need to surrender to Jesus before it's too late. Help us to have your wisdom, your love, your persistence in doing your will. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Let us be an encouragement to each other. Continue to let your arms and hands protect us as we go about your work. We praise you and celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen.